Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, Destroying the Works of the Devil. An ambassador does not set policies, but simply conveys them to a foreign government. Likewise, God's ambassadors shouldn't alter His message, but present it as it is written. In doing so, there can be no refutation from those who promote false doctrine, because they have to reject the Word of God. Joseph Prince from Singapore is the latest television evangelist to bring a quote-unquote new teaching on grace, which is not really new, but an old lie from the devil. In this message, Pastor John will expose his false teachings and show you the mindset of this man and other false teachers and how they are the forerunners to the Antichrist. Exposing false doctrine does not sit well with some Christians, but it is a subject that must be dealt with since doing nothing has a devastating effect. This message is entitled Part 3, Exposing False Doctrine. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise God, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on this Sunday, June 6th, 2010. And we're talking about destroying the works of the devil. And today, the works we're going to destroy is false doctrine. Exposing false doctrine. So let's stand and let's pray and seek the Lord. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for great praise and worship time here. That we are able to pray, Lord. And most of all, that you answer prayers. We're not just praying to the wall. We're praying to our Heavenly Father. And you do answer prayers. And we thank you for that. And I pray right now, Lord, that you will open up the Word of God for us in such a marvelous way, Lord, that it will change us again. We want to change every week. We want to grow every week. We're never satisfied with what we have. We want more. And more and more. And we thank you, Lord, that you have more for us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, this is a message that a number of people simply says, I don't want to hear. But this is a message that I believe is important. And I want to draw a picture for you, a mental picture. And so, picture yourself that you receive some money. And you are told that you're going to spend a year in the city of Moscow, Russia. You do not know the language. You do not know Russian law. You don't know nothing about Russia. And here now, you get on an airplane, you fly over, you walk out at the airport, take it to an apartment, and then you're told, go to work tomorrow. You don't know the language. You don't know anyone in the city. You don't know their laws. And they give you a car. And they tell you to drive to such and such an address. How safe would you feel of driving in Moscow not knowing their traffic laws? Would you feel very safe? Would you feel very confident? You don't know their political laws. You know nothing. How would you be able to function? The answer is, you would not. Yesterday, Thomas and I, we attended a conference on resisting the world, New World Order. And in that group of hundreds of people, I saw people they knew a lot about transplants, implants. They knew about global warming. They knew about UFOs. They knew a lot of things. But they did not know Jesus. And they were fighting this new world order, not knowing that this new world order is led by their father, Lucifer. Because the Bible says whosoever is not born again is a citizen of the kingdom of Satan. And I felt so sorry. And I felt, dear God, what can I do? And there was not a lot I could do because I was not a speaker. And they run a very tight ship. Today, I want to talk about destroying the works of the devil. And we read in the outline here, very few Christians understand we are ambassadors for Christ, and even less know the job description of an ambassador. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, after God is beseeched by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made a righteous of God in him. What is an ambassador? This is what I wrote here in my box. An ambassador does not set policies, but merely conveys the policies of his government. If you take an American ambassador in any country, he's not going to set policies. He's simply going to receive orders from the White House through the State Department, and he would inform the foreign government the policies of the United States. If they ask the ambassador about certain things, he cannot say, well, I'm going to make this decision. He says, I do not know. I have to consult with my government. I am only an ambassador. I am not a policymaker. This is your job and my job. So what I want to really think about today is this. We represent God. This is his word, the Bible. We do not set policies. We cannot create something that we think should be said. We simply have to say what our King Jesus has said in the word. I was talking to Brother Joe the other day, matter of fact, Thursday night. He'd been reading a book about the seven churches in Asia, which you find in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And he was asking me, what do you think about this? What church age is this and that? And here's what I told him. I said, the seven churches in Asia were real churches. They were not fictional. Jesus wrote a letter to each church. The seven churches do not represent an age. I said, we cannot use this here in prophecy and say that, you know, this is this age and this is that age. I said, I do not read it in the Bible. I cannot go beyond what God has said. And Joe said, you're right. Because he didn't believe it himself, but he had just read about it. So this is what I want you to understand today. We can only say what God has said. We cannot go beyond that. If somebody asks us other things, we got to simply say this, I do not know. I can pray about it, you can pray about it, but we do not know. I'm not going to make anything up. Now we look upon the Mormons And Jehovah's Witnesses have been saying, you know what, they are in false doctrine. Let me caution you right now. Sometimes you and I make up false doctrine. When we simply do not understand the Word of God, somebody asks us something, and we give them our opinion and saying, this is what I think. And the person is not saying, well, I guess that's what God said, but he's not in the Word. We got to be extremely careful when we talk to people and say, this is what the Bible says, this is my opinion. It is a task of each believer in Christ to bring God's message to the unsaved people. Let's begin in Isaiah chapter 52. That's Isaiah chapter 52. Now, have you ever heard about a person being scared? Thomas and I met the person yesterday, was very scared. And he was afterwards, and he was talking. And I went up and I said, are you talking about this or that? He was talking about the Kabbalah and Sabbatai Siva. And he said, yes. He was an Iranian Jew. Had been there for a number of years. And I said, can you wait here? I got some stuff in the car I want to give you. He said, I got to go to the bathroom. I said, that's fine. I'll meet you afterwards. He evaporated. Thomas and I worked back and forth. And finally we realized he didn't want to talk to me. People are scared of truth. The demons were scared. Isaiah 52, verse number 7. Look upon these verses. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publish peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation. That says unto Zion, thy God reigns. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings. Now, when you come home tonight or today, and you take your shoes off, you should know that you have beautiful shoes. I mean, not beautiful shoes, but beautiful feet. You know, most of us who says, well, my feet look crummy, I got a little this or that, you know, and we really don't want to show people, have you seen my feet? But they are beautiful because they are bringing the gospel. Turn to Romans chapter 10 now. Romans, the 10th chapter. And you want to pick this up in verse number 14. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? When I was about 70 years of age, I got into drinking alcohol. In our family, we got a lot of alcoholics. A lot of people got destroyed. And once I got a taste for it, I didn't like the taste, so to say, but I liked being drunk. And God sent a man to me. Matter of fact, he was our neighbor. And he took an interest in me. But he never gave me Jesus. I believe the man was saved. So what he did was he took me to a certain level. But he couldn't bring me to Christ. He never spoke about Jesus. You have a gift that is unique. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. and bring glad tidings of good things. Paul quoting Isaiah 52:7. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Have you picked it up in verses 1 and 2? Let a man so account of us, and of the minister of Christ, and the steward of the mysteries of God. More it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. More it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you like it or not, you are an ambassador. If you have accepted Christ, you are an ambassador. I don't care if you like it or not. That's what you are. And the question is now, God is simply saying this, what are you going to do with your life? And are you going to be faithful in your ministry as an ambassador? Or are you going to simply shine it on? The devil is a master of creating different religions and twisting the word of God to make it say something that God never intended. It was a masterstroke at twisting God's words to bring Adam and Eve under sin and the dominion of Satan. Turn again to Genesis chapter 2. And I believe that we need to look at these verses over and over again to see the cleverness of the devil. In Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, we read this. And the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God said, now, don't eat it. If you eat it, you shall surely die. That's what God said. Now, what did the devil say? Chapter 3. Have you picked it up? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, God never told her, don't touch it. He said, you shall not eat of it. And the serpent unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Here's a twist now. You shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Was the devil telling truth? Yes, he was telling half. He knew that Adam and Eve would not die physically at that point. They would die spiritually. They lived on for about 900 years, 900 years. But you see, he only told them half the truth. And Eve now said, well, maybe I will not die. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took out a fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And sin was accomplished. 5 years ago, a young woman, 18 years old, from the United States, was going to celebrate her high school. She had finished high school, graduated. And her mother took her to one of these Caribbean islands to have a good time. And the young girl went out in the evening, probably without the mother, 18 years old, very pretty. And she met some men there, young men, they 18 or 19 years old. And they were drinking with her. And one of the men simply seduced her. to go with her and have some sex. She did not know when she was seduced by that man that he was a violent man and that she would die that night, her body taken out on a ship to the ocean and never found again. 5 years and still haven't found her. This last week, the same boy, a young man that was accused of killing this girl, had now moved to Peru, the city of Lima, Peru capital. And you would think that the world had simply learned that the girls would simply think, you know what, if I'm going to date somebody, I'm not going to go with that guy because he's been arrested 3 times and he still think he creamed that girl. But he found a young woman, 21 years old, and she drank and played poker with him that night. And on a surveillance tape, I watched that. You could see them leave the casino, and she followed him like a puppy dog. She just walked behind him like this. You could see the surveillance tape in the hotel where he came to the counter, and then later to the room where he opened the door and walked in, and you could see the girl walk into the door, and then the door closed. She never came out alive. 4 hours later, the man walked out, had changed clothing, taken a shower, had his bags and stuff with him, and he walked away and left the city, left the country. And they found the girl in the room. She put up a hard fight, bruised, blood all over the place, but she was dead because she got seduced and she got killed. Satan is ruthless. You look at a young man's face now, he doesn't look like a murderer. He just looked like a neighborhood boy, just in the neighborhood. But you see, inside of him are evil spirits. And this man is a violent man. It's not enough to have sex. He kills. And you know, I'm going to give you a bonus scripture. Turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John 10:10. Gospel of John chapter 10. And I want to read this to you because it's an important verse. The thief, that's Satan, comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Satan is a murderer. He's a thief. He's a deceiver. And he is smooth. Very, very smooth. As a teenager, I thought me and my group were the smartest kids on the block, so to say. And I learned that we were just as stupid as every generation before us. And every generation to come. Turn me now to Luke chapter 4. The Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Have you picked it up in verse number 1? And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil saw him. If you be the Son of God, command this stone and may make bread. Notice now, if Satan come against us with his words, we can somewhat resist. Jesus didn't say to the devil, no, I'm not going to do that. Jesus quoted a scripture. He said this, it is written, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil taking him up into a high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, which is delivered to me, and terms of I will give you, if you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. Jesus knew about the cross. He was a devil now simply saying, look, you don't have to die, you don't have to go to the cross. All you have to do is to bow down one time, just bow down one time, and I give it all, I give up. He's a liar. Praise God, Jesus didn't fall for it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get you behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, notice now, Satan is changing tactic. He's getting smooth. He's going to quote scripture. And first he said, if you be. How many of you have been simply attacked by people that if you are a real Christian, you will not act like that. If you were a real Christian, you wouldn't speak like that. You ever heard him tell you that? Oh, yeah. That's a setup to make you angry and to really show them what a tremendous Christian you are. By the getting some foul language getting out of your mouth at that time. And we read this now. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. Quoting scripture now. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Was he quoted correctly? Yes. But what did Jesus say? He said, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And he shut the devil down. When you use the word of God, you got to use it in context. You can get a loose verse out any place and build a doctrine on it, but you want to have it in context. What does it mean? Is it in harmony with the rest of the Bible? Jesus countered with a quote from God, and Satan lost the fight to bring Jesus into sin. Now, what should we do with false doctrine? I give you a number of verses here. We're going to begin in Romans chapter 16. Because people says, are we to destroy false doctrine? Should we get involved with that, or should we just be nice? In Romans 16:17. Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are said serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple or the uneducated. Now, wow. Paul here is saying, now we are to simply not to mess with them. And then we read in verse 18 here. For they are such served on the Lord Jesus Christ by their own belly, and by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple. We are to mark them that cause division. We are to mark those that make false doctrine. Now, how do we do that? Well, every day you are encountering false doctrines, television, radio, written material, people you meet, false doctrine. And the question is, are we going to mark it? Are we going to resist it? Turn to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we pick up in the first four verses. Be ye followers of me, Paul, even as I also am of Christ. Now praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances, as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now, verse number 4 has nothing to do with the message today. But now in the same chapter, we drop down to verses 12 through 15. I gotta be in 2 Corinthians. I'm totally off here. So, correct your outlines. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And it says on the outline, oh well, would to God you bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, as your mind should be corrupted with the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another Spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For he that comes preaches another Jesus. In the occult section yesterday was a man standing with a book that was called Meet the Real Jesus. Well, Thomas confronted the man, talked to him, and it ended up with the guy finally had to recognize he did not know Jesus, but he sure could write about it so you can find the real Jesus. So much for that. Who is the real Jesus? It is the Son of God that lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, you and I can be saved. Verses 12 now. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Paul says, I'm going to cut them off. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There are a number of smooth television evangelists, preachers, teachers, and they come on like an angel of light, and they are smooth. And since most people do not know the Bible, and you notice this, when most of them preach, they never have the Bible. Most of them do not have a Bible. They simply quote scriptures. If they quote something, it's either the Message Bible or the NIV, some other odd situation. And people fall for them and say, you know, well, that sounds very good. Paul says, we got to cut these guys off. Now turn to Galatians chapter 2. That's Galatians, the second chapter. Now, I was in a place teaching some time back. And it was a group I had never met before. And most of them were well-to-do people, educated, good income, and so on. And I gave a speech. Actually, I was teaching on the law that the Old Testament is still good and so on. I'm teaching them about different things. And afterwards, now I don't like this, but I got a very long, they clapped their hands, an ovation, very long. And I just stood there very uncomfortable. And they simply said, this is a marvelous speech. This is a marvelous teaching. I says, well, praise the Lord. They all bought Christian Dynamics, Book 1. And you know the saying, the dirt hits the fan. When they got home, they start reading in the book. They began in the index. And they found every one of their favorite television evangelists listed. And they got so upset. And they began to call the hostess and said, how could you bring this man? How could this man teach like this and then slander these people? We have to love, embrace, unity. Now, I am, what do you call it, dirt. I'm not welcome anymore. And I told the lady, I'm sorry, forget you met us, just go on. They don't want to be corrected. False doctrine has to be destroyed. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 9. And when James, Cephas, which is Peter, and John were seen to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they to the circumcision, which means they were going to minister to the Jews, and he was going to go to the heathens. Only they would that we should remember the poor, and same which I also forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were out of circumcision. He feared the Jews. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their disillumination. But when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel. I want to read that sentence again. I want you to see that. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew lives after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He publicly stood up and said, Peter, this is not right. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, Peter, it doesn't say what kind of reaction Peter had. Paul didn't care. This was important. It had to be stopped. Let me take you back about 120, 130 years. Joseph Smith starting the religion called Mormonism. And Joseph Smith was a thief, charlatan. He was into a cult. He was a shaman. And he got his buddy, Brigham Young, who was a crook and also a thief. Usually, birds of the same flocks, you know, birds of the same feather flock together. While Joseph got killed up in Illinois someplace, Brigham took most of the Mormons with him to Utah, found the city, Salt Lake City. And the descendants of Joseph went down to Mississippi, Missouri someplace, and the Mormon church split at that time. Now, when Brigham Young came out, he was a ruthless man. He had about 28 to 29 wives. Matter of fact, Brigham Young would be simply, if he was out walking in the street someday, or he saw a man and his wife, and he simply said, "That's a beautiful woman," he would have his lieutenants go to the man and say, "Hey, you know, you're going to give your wife to Brigham. He wants her." If the man said, "Well, that's my wife. I'm not going to give her up," they just go, pfft, they plugged him. Now, do you hear that in the Mormon church today? Of course not. They had what he called angels of revenge. It was a group of gunslingers that would go out and punish those and kill and maim that simply did not obey Brigham Young. Now, no one was able to stand up against Brigham Young. That rough, murdering religion was able to evolve over the years into the smooth Mormon church today, family-oriented. You know, there's not a religion that's more family-oriented than Mormons. The family got to be together, and they do so many things for the family. Smooth. But whoever joins them gets an automatic ticket to hell. We have to expose false doctrine. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 now. And, you know, I wish, I liked the people I met in the Bay Area. They were nice people. I thought we'd get some new friends. We didn't get a new friends. They don't like us anymore. And there's going to be some people that will not like you. But as long as you're true to the Word of God, and God likes you, who cares? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ to be the evidence set forth crucified among you? This only what I learn of you, received of the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Have begun in the Spirit. Are you not made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit that works miracles among you, does it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, as you go in this chapter, you find that there were Jews that accepted Jesus as the Messiah. But they still said he might be the Messiah, but we still got to have circumcision. We got to hang on. We got to sacrifice. We got to do all these different things. They simply mixed Judaism and Christianity. The same demons that ran these Jewish people are here today. Now they are called Messianic Jews. I'm sure that you heard the term Messianic Jews. And these, we're not going to talk about now Jews for Jesus, because Jews for Jesus were real Jews for Jesus. They were not Messianic Jews. A Messianic Jew is someone that would wear a skull cap, the men, that do circumcision. They simply observe the Passover, the Seder, and they do all the Jewish customs, and they said in order to be a true Christian, you have to go back to the Jewish roots. Messianic Jews. Charisma promotes them. TBM promotes them. Everybody promotes them. And you know, I think, you know, isn't it wonderful? God's chosen people sitting over here, and they're trying to mingle in Christianity. The same demons that Paul addressed here are here today. What are we saying? How many pastors do you hear stand up and say, you cannot mix Judaism with Christianity? You don't say that, or you would be labeled what? Anti-Semitic. I love Jews. I have nothing against them. I want to see them saved. I love all people. But you can't say anything. Extracting Judaism was not easy in the first century. And we're now going to have a problem again. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. 1 Timothy, he's hiding just before Hebrews. There he is coming up. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Wherefore comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, suppose that gain is godless. From such withdraw yourself. Paul didn't say we all got to be in unity. He said if they come with a different gospel, you have to reject it. Let's look upon Galatians chapter 1. Very powerful. Galatians chapter 1. A little bonus scripture here. Verse 6. I marvel that you so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ and of the gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, let him be cursed or damned. And we said before, so say it now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you, then that you have received, let him be accursed. Paul would have never been able to mingle with the charismatic Pentecostals today. He would have been thrown out and simply said, you are too intolerant. We don't have unity, and you don't fit into the program. Which is just too bad. In his letter to Paul, Titus, and I want you to turn to Titus now. Just a very short letter to Titus. And he's hiding back there, just after Timothy. Titus 1:10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they at a circumcision. Now, if you haven't understood that, when the Bible says circumcision, that is a Jew. So you might as well write circumcision. Being out of circumcision means a Jew. So let me read that to you. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially those who are Jewish, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake or cash. Let's talk about television evangelists. Why are they preaching? Oh, they want to give you the counsel of God, right? But you know, there's no more rich people than television evangelists in the United States. They do it for filthy lucre's sake. Paul simply says now their mouth has to be stopped. Turn up to 2 John. Second John. And we're going to look in chapter 7. That Second John. It doesn't have chapter 7. It's verse number 7. Boy, I'm writing all kind of stuff up here today. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself, that we lose not the things which you have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is partake of his evil deeds. John here says now, don't even receive them into your house. If somebody comes with false doctrine, they will not change, reject them. Turn to Revelation 22, now before we read what I got to the box here. That's Revelation chapter 22. You don't have to be a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness to be a false teacher or prophet. Harold Camping qualifies 1,000%. And I believe that Harold Camping has lost his salvation if he doesn't repent. He's going to end up in a lake of fire where he was talking about. And there's no thermostat given to him down there. Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify to man, unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in his book. He would testify these things, says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Here's what I wrote in my box. Adding to the word of God will bring plagues upon a person. Taking away from the word of God will result in loss of salvation and a secure place in the lake of fire. I'm going to do some reading here now. This last week, I do take charisma. And I call it the slang pit of false doctrine. But if you want to know what's up, you got to have charisma. Very powerful magazine, slick and so on. Lots of money. And I just want to read to you. Now, when I read this promotion they had this week, or this month, I said, the Lord said, you have to speak against that. There's an abundance of false teachers in the world. Many of them are Americans. The late Kenneth Hagin founded Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I have been there, visited that. It was there that he taught the damnable heresy that Jesus did not pay for our sins on the cross, but in hell. This Jesus died spiritually. JDS doctrine has infected all the students attending the school, of which Kenneth Copeland, Freddie Casey Price, Dick Bernal, are among the worst well-known. Bill Hybels, Rick Warren are more than mega pastors because each has built a denomination founded on false doctrine and taken in millions of people in their folly. The Pentecostal Canadian evangelist Todd Bentley, known for the so-called revival in Lakeland, Florida, did not only teach false doctrine, but he would get drunk between the meetings, have sex with one of the revival workers. Now, let me slow down. Here's Todd Bentley finishing a service at night, broadcast on God TV. Goes home to his hotel room, has his girlfriend with him, by the way, who was from Sacramento. Gets drunk, has sex, messes around all night, The next day he goes out again and says, praise the Lord. And he still had the same power. People fell over. Manifestations. The power was not of God. The power was of Satan. The people, they did not know that this was a charlatan. The revival was shut down when his sins were found out by the group of prophets from Kansas City, the Kansas Five, asked him to come to them for restoration. This restoration consisted of a divorce from his wife, that's convenient, abandonment of his children, save money, and a new marriage to the woman which had committed adultery. And not long ago, they were back on TV, and she was saying, you know, that God has commissioned us to start a new ministry. He has returned to the ministry after 6 months of rehabilitation and claimed that the power is greater than ever in his ministry. Bentley's a con man with a reprobate mind of duping silly women and dumbfounded men to fall for this cup from the devil. It's sad. Charisma is a magazine, you can find it online, that caters to Pentecostals and charismatic in the United States, has turned to a slime pit of spreading false doctrine. Well-known false charismatic Pentecostal preachers or evangelists are taking out large advertisements in the magazine to promote their ministries of deception. Joseph Prince from Singapore is featured as the next great guru for Christians to flock around in a May 2010 issue. I'm sure that some of you have heard about Joseph Prince. He's on just about every Christian television there is to be on. What about the teachings of Joseph Prince? I call him J.P. J.P. claims that God spoke to him during a vacation to Switzerland in 1997. The voice, according to J.P., was the Holy Spirit that J.P. heard inside him and said he was not preaching grace to the people in the church. When J.P. argued he was preaching grace, that the person is saved by grace, not by works, the voice told him that grace cannot be preached in the same time with the law of God. The two do not mix. Drop the law, preach only grace. J.P. went back home to Singapore, started to preach his new message. As a result, his congregation grew from 2,000 people to more than 15,000 in a short time, by 2007. J.P. has very cleverly mixed biblical truth with lies, and he's just as smooth as Satan was in the Garden of Eden. J.P. teaches the unearned and undeserved favor of God comes through the cross of Christ, and that Jesus is the reason every believer can confidently expect the good things in their lives. And here's some quotes. Because of the cross, God is today no longer angry with us. The truth is that God was angry with sin. And when there's sin in a person's life, there is a judgment of God upon that person. Here's what J.P. says. Because of the cross, we can today expect promotion, increase, and the abundant life. It is all because of our wonderful Lord Jesus. If we have him, we have everything and more, and can be a blessing to others. This morning, as I scanned our email before coming here to get the latest prayer request, I received this information from Sweden. This is from a good friend of ours. Her name is Christina. And she found out some things that I did not know earlier this week. And she simply said this, note Joseph Prince's roots. And here's what he said as a quote. I give thanks for God for my roots in the Word of Faith teachings. It is truly on the shoulders of the great man of God like Brother Kenneth E. Hagin that we are able to see further into the Word of God today. Growing up, I learned a lot about faith from Brother Hagin, who truly had a special relation of faith from God. I deeply honor and respect him for all that he has taught me. Now, if you read a statement here, promotion, increase, and abundant life, that's the teaching from Kenneth Hagin and Copeland Westerham, get more money. J.P. states that true holiness comes by the revelation of God's grace. Run that by again. He states that true holiness comes by the revelation of God's grace. What does the Bible say? Let's just quickly turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, I believe. Micah chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the grace of God is quick and powerful and sharp than the two-edged sword. Is somebody telling me your Bible? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, out of joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look at that verse, and look here what he said about grace. Grace, it is a gift of no condemnations that give people the power to sin no more. It sounds good. It sounds like it in the Bible, right? People's life will never be radically blessed and radically transformed unless you preach grace not tempered with the law. This means that this guy, JP, has to remove most of the four Gospels. Because Jesus said you ought to do this and this and that. Of course, Paul's letter's got to be thrown out. Matter of fact, the whole New Testament got to be thrown out. I don't know what he's using. He's probably got a scissors and cut and pasted what he wants to preach. JP states that true holiness comes by the revelation of God's grace. What brought you and me to Christ? Conviction of our sins. How were we convicted of our sins? Because we've read in the Bible, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That no man can come to Jesus except through, can come to the Father except through Jesus. That is what brought us to Christ. Not grace. Grace was when we received the gift of salvation free. And grace is what we are praising God for now, to be living in grace every day. Let me read on. It isn't until you smooth spiritual power that drives JP. He says the purpose of his radical grace message is to reveal the love of Christ to people. My ministry is all about exalting the person of Jesus and pointing people to the finished work at Calvary. Now, let me ask you this. We have some laws on the book here in California. If I was simply saying this, we're going to exalt Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's our governor. And we're going to exalt him and exalt and exalt him and the legislators. And someone says, well, I just committed a murder yesterday. Don't worry about it. Keep exalting. Someone says, well, I'm just robbing some banks here right now. Don't worry about it. Just keep exalting. It's insanity. But you know, the people sitting in front of the television sets, they simply eat it up and say, it sounds good. And you know, I do want to prosper. I do want to be rich. I do want to have a better job. And then he said, it's important to build a firm foundation on the finished work of Jesus Christ and realize that in the new covenant, it is not about what we need to do, but all about what Jesus has done. Look at that sentence. That's double talk. New age. It is not about what we need to do, but about what Jesus has done. Yes, we did need to repent. Yes, we do need to repent on a daily basis. Yes, we do need to follow Jesus. Biblical truth. It only takes one Bible verse to shoot down this false teaching of Joseph Prince. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my grace. If you love me, keep my commandments. Will anyone of statute take Joseph Prince on? Not really. Too much money involved. Let me just read this quickly to you. Who is Joseph Prince? Joseph Prince was born in 1963 to an Indian father and a Chinese mother. A good portion of his childhood was spent in Malaysia before he came to Singapore. As a young boy, he got involved in the occult when an aunt led him to a Christian church and away from the occult when he was 12 years old. J.P. claims that he was saved at this age. He does not know what kind of church this was. He attended the Commonwealth Secondary School in Singapore and went to finish his education at the Roman Catholic School, Our Lady of Lourdes. He got a good Catholic education. Just like Benny Hinn. Now, by 1984, Jake was a president of a youth minister in the traditional church and was asked to leave the church with a group of friends since there was a disagreement on how to worship. The group started their own church called New Creation Church, and Jake served on the staff of his new church while he was in the mid-20s, doing some teaching, preaching, and assisting the pastor of the church. J.P. worked as an information technology consultant for some time to make a living, since the church only had 150 members. During his time, he changed his name to Joseph Prince. And I wrote to you the purpose made is that people could not know his first name. Well, Christina from Sweden got it. And I don't know how to pronounce this, but this is his original name. Xenno Namandar. Yegahushi Singh was his name, and is his name. He also says this, you are destined to reign in life. You are called to be a success, to enjoy wealth, to enjoy health, and to enjoy a life of victory. He said, we have been called to be the head and not the tail. Again, smooth double talking. While nothing is publicly known about his theological training, because he's careful to hear the many details of his past. And if you look at his picture here, and if you go on the web, you will find his picture. I don't see this guy as a Chinese Indian guy. He looks to me like something else. J.P. is not just one of the many preaching evangelists who have replaced the old false teachers. Let me read that. J.P. is just one of the many preachers evangelists who have replaced the old false teachers, and establishing the Pentecostal charismatic movement is propelling a new rising star on the market. It is interesting to note that in May 2010, issue of Charisma, half the magazine divided, dedicated to the State of Israel and Judaism. The Pentecostal charismatic establishment is firmly in the hand of Zionism. The loyalty of Christ to Israel is very strong. It is obvious that Jewish money is behind Charisma, and Joseph Prince would never have made it in a world stage unless he was approved by the rabbinical board of the World Zionist Federation. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, father, was an SS soldier in Germany. He was from Austria, but Austria was part of Germany at that time. Arnold, to clean his name, became a good friend with a rabbi in Los Angeles. And this rabbi spent quite some time and groomed Arnold and brought him into the political arena. If you remember about 2 years ago, there was a ruckus over Arnold because he was brought out, his dad was an SS soldier. And guess who came to his defense? His rabbi friend in L.A. that said, you know, Arnold's okay. Don't worry what his dad did. Arnold is one of us. He is a Zionist. Look at this lineup. JAPE is currently featured on cable and satellite networks like the USA Network, ABC Family Channel, CNBC Europe, Middle East Television, Trinity Broadcasting Network, Daystar Television Network, God TV, United Christian Broadcasting, and Australian Christian Channel. How much money do you think this costs? This guy's on for 1 hour. You talk about millions of dollars. Now, in the interview, he said, I did not try to go on television. I have been propelled into this. Here's a mindset of JP. He and his wife were vacationing in Canada in the early 2000s. He was appalled when he watched a man preaching hellfire and brimstone on television. JP asked God, why do you allow ministers like that on television? JP said, the Lord replied almost nonchalantly, it is because ministers like you don't want to be on television. The experience struck a nerve with JP. I struggled with it, he said, as I was very content being a local church pastor in Singapore and wasn't interested in doing anything beyond that. Now, is it wrong to be a hellfire brimstone preacher? Isn't the Bible talk about hell? Doesn't the Bible talk about the lake of fire? Doesn't Jesus talk about that broad is the road that leads to destruction, narrow is the road that leads to salvation? But he simply said he couldn't stand by these preachers on television. Look what I said on the last page on page 5 as we wrap this. All false preachers are forerunners to the Antichrist. By destroying the doctrine of the believers in Christ, they're destroying all resistance to the unholy man that Satan is eager to present to the world. Try to catch what I'm saying now. Every false religion, if it is Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Armstrongism, Joseph, Prince, and all the others, they are destroying the biblical foundation of Christians. And when the Antichrist comes on the scene, if you don't have a knowledge of the word, you will cave. And we need to understand that. You can only stand if you're strong. How do we destroy false doctrine? We don't go out and shoot these people. Notice now, I didn't say anything bad about Joseph Prince. I didn't say he was a bad man, bad this, bad that. I'm simply talking about his message and his doctrine. He's probably a very good family man. He's probably a very devoted husband. How do we destroy false doctrine? There are two faces in this battle. Teach solid Bible doctrine to the believers in Christ. You and I daily, during the week, can teach solid Bible doctrine to your friends, relatives, whoever you meet, and you are inoculating them against false doctrine. That's number one. Number two, expose the false teachers. Let the world know that this is not a man of God or woman of God. Here's the good news. You are destroying the work of the devil every time you share the true gospel with someone. Anytime you witness, you're destroying the works of the devil. You're destroying the work of Satan every time you expose a false teacher or false religion. But you can only do this destruction to the devil if you're truly anchored in the Bible and walking close to Jesus in obedience to his word. And I close with John 15. The Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. This will be closed here today. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean for the word I've spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Many of these false teachers, men and women, are good people. They're not bad people. They are simply nice people. But the doctrine is wrong. And you see, let me just close with this, try to give it us. If I was running a travel bureau, which almost don't exist anymore, and I would tell you this, that if you want to go to Hawaii, I have worked out a special deal where you can buy a round trip to Hawaii from Sacramento for $99, including a hotel stay for 1 week. Bargain price! I look good, I smell good, I talk smooth, and I tell you, I show you brochures, I show you pictures of Hawaii and everything else. And he says, "Wow, yeah, give me that ticket." So I take you $99. And I have a very nice looking ticket, look very official. And I say, "You just go to the airline for sent that you're on your way." Guess what? You come on out to the airport, you walk up to the airline, give them that ticket, and they look at you and says, "What's that? Well, that's my ticket, my dream ticket." And they say, "You ain't flying on this airline. That's a bogus, bogus ticket." And you stand there with your baggage packed, and you stand in front of that counter and say, "But I was going to go to Hawaii." And they said, "Sorry, you met the call man. He took your money." Tell the police. That's a bad story. Here's a worse story. You packed your bags. You're ready to go. And you die. And here comes the angels. And you say, "Glory to God." And the angel says, "There's no glory where you're going." "What? I've been a good Mormon. I've been a good JWs. I've been good in this religion, that religion. Look at my ticket. They promised me eternal life." And the angel's going to say, "That's a bogus ticket. Put your hands behind. We're going to cuff you. And we're going to take you down to hell." Every day, JWs, Mormons, Muslims, Buddhists, you name them, are going down in that elevators, screaming, hollering, "But we were lied to." And the angel says, "Sorry, you didn't make it." Do you understand how fortunate you and I are to have found the true word of God? Somebody led you to Christ. Somebody loved you enough, they led you to the real Christ. And when you die, you can simply say, "I stand upon the blood of Jesus. I stand upon him. Nothing else." And they're going to say, "Yes, welcome into your Father's mansions." We need to start doing some destruction of Satan's work. We may not be able to destroy these denominations, but we can reach one person at a time. One person at a time we can reach and give them the love of God and tell them that through Christ, you can be born again. Let's stand for prayer. Remember, it is not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. Have you made plans on to finish your life, or are you just drifting? Do you have an ear to hear with? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for today. And Lord, I made some mistakes in my message and looked at the wrong scriptures, Father God, but I thank you helped me through. And Father God, I do not hate this man, Joseph Prince. I feel sorry for him. And Father God, right now, I pray for him. That, Lord, you will give him a true revelation. The Father God, he will sit down and read the Bible and realize, I cannot preach just one portion of it. I've got to preach the whole counsel of God. Father, I pray for his and his congregation and for all the people he's leading down this road, that there will be a repentance and a change. And I thank you, Father God. This man is not beyond redemption. And I pray, Father God, for the Mormons and the JWs and the Buddhists and the Hindus and the East Indians, Father God, and the Gurus and all of these different religions and the people that do cult. The Father God, send us into the highways and byways that we, with love, can share the true gospel, the real Jesus, the Son of God. Thank you, Lord, for meeting your people today. And Father God, if you have an invitation, meet those that might want to be saved today, those that might need a healing, those that want to rededicate their lives, or maybe you called them into some kind of a life calling today. Touch your people today. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who are agreed said, amen and amen. The altars have opened. You come. And if you are watching us right now, or you're watching us later, call us. We got a good counselor standing by, ready to take a call anytime. There'll be a number on your screen in just a few moments. And if you really need help, write us, call us, and we will minister to you. May God richly bless you.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood. and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the third part in the series, Destroying the Works of the Devil, and was entitled, Exposing False Doctrine. God's ambassadors shouldn't alter His message, but present it as it is written, because those who promote false doctrine will have to reject the Word of God. Joseph Prince is the latest guru to bring a quote-unquote new teaching on grace, which is not really new, but an old lie from the devil. It is sad how easily people are seduced. All false teachers are forerunners to the Antichrist, and by destroying the doctrine of Jesus Christ, they are destroying all resistance to the unholy man that Satan is so eager to present to the world. Exposing false doctrine does not sit well with some Christians, but it is a subject that must be dealt with, since doing nothing would have a devastating effect. So what can you do? Share the gospel, expose false doctrine, be anchored in the Bible, and walk close to Jesus. Leave the rest up to God. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1241. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.